Have certified.
Ted Brewer Show with your host Ted and Austin Brewer, bringing you the latest world news and health research. This is Ted Brewer. I'm so glad you're here with us today. And Austin, I'm so glad you're joining me again today. So I've had some fun today. Let me tell you guys a little story real quick, if you don't mind, Oz. I got to tell you guys a story. I got to do it. I'm still burned indelibly into my synapse. I'm not going to probably let this one ever go. About a month ago, we decided to sign up for the TSA PreCheck, which is like Global Entry Program, which allows you to avoid the passport lines. Hopefully it reduces the amount of grope time that you get, and you just get to go through without having to take your shoes off and do the big stripping exercise when you go through the passenger lines there at the airports. And so, a few times they'd actually given me a TSA pre-check on my ticket, and so I avoided all that stuff. I got to go in the short little line. I thought, how wonderful is this? And I was wondering, why was I randomly chosen? Well, the reason for that is there were very few people in the TSA pre-line checks because nobody wanted to go through the rigmarole. Well, because they've given so many of these TSA pre-check things out now to all these people that fly on a regular basis like myself, there are so many people, literally hundreds of thousands of people nationwide now that are signing up for TSA pre-check. And what that simply does is they do an extended background check on you before they let you fly, and so you get to go through the fast lanes, et cetera, et cetera. Now, many of you are asking, well, why would I give up a bit additional information on myself? It's not really additional information. They basically go in there, and I think they fingerprint you, which my fingerprints have already been given anyhow because I have a concealed weapons permit. In addition to that, they take a shot of your passport, et cetera, and they do a real quick preliminary background check on you, and then they bring you in for an interview, and they give you this little card, apparently. Well, what was interesting, when I did all of this about a month ago, they finally emailed me and said, okay, great, you guys can, you're pre-qualified, make an appointment. Well, when I made an appointment, the first available date that was open was in May, like the end of May, which was like 2 months away. And so I called them up and sat on hold for an extended period of time. It felt like an eternity. And finally I spoke to a guy who was actually pretty nice. And he told me, he says, here's the deal. I can't get you any sooner than that in Orlando or in Sanford. But what we can do is this. They always have openings and people don't show up for these interviews. And so they can always work you into their schedule either in Orlando or in Sanford. The problem is you got to have to drop in and ask them, or you can call them and they'll be happy to return your phone call if they have an opening that day or somebody didn't show up. I said, okay, great. Thank you so much. So I started calling them up, and of course, nobody answers the phone. There's a recorder. Nobody returns a phone call. So finally today, I said, look, we're flying out of here in a couple of weeks, Sharon. Let's see if we can go ahead and get this done today. So we drove all the way to Orlando International Airport, which is like 50 miles from here, and we got to Orlando International Airport, and the guy basically hysterically started laughing when we told him that we were told that they would do a walk-in. I mean, it was ridiculous. And finally I said, dude, you need to laugh. It's ridiculous. I mean, why in the world did they tell us that? He goes, I can't be held accountable for what they say, online with TSA. I said, well, you are TSA. He goes, yeah, I know, but we don't care. Look at the stack of paperwork. He literally had stacks and stacks and stacks of paperwork. They said they process about 50 to 60 people a day. And I said, oh, that's ridiculous. He says, nope, you can't come in. But Sanford, they let people walk in over there all the time. So you go up to Sanford Airport, and they'll take care of you, and you go to TSA up there. I said, well, could you call them for me? Now, listen to this. Oh, I don't have their phone number. I said, I look up their number, but nobody answers phone calls. Can you have a number they actually answer? Oh, no, you have to go online and get the number. I said, well, can you give me the number? No, I don't want to do that. I can't do that, blah, blah, blah. I don't know it. So we left. So then my wife says, well, let's run up to Sanford. We're closer to Sanford here than we are from our house, which it's only like another 45 miles north. Let's run up to Sanford. Oh, you're laughing, Austin. So we drive all the way to Sanford. You get to go to the little parking garage, much, much smaller airport, and we get there, we get to the TSA, global office, and there, sure enough, there's like 20 people sitting out front, waiting for their appointment. And I'm like, looked at Sharon, I said, this does not look good. So we walked inside, and the guy goes, oh, absolutely not. We never take walk-ins. We don't do that. And I'm like, well, we just drove like, 100 miles to get here. He goes, well, we don't really care. That's not what we do here, blah, blah, blah. You just need to enjoy your vacation, and don't worry about what they do to you at the Orlando International Airport. He goes, the last time I went through, I worked for TSA. They groped me. That's what he said. They groped me. He said, they took me in the back and they groped me and they patted me down and they ran the little swatches in my pockets and they tested me for gunpowder residue. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. He goes, no. And I'm like, he says, just enjoy your air flight over there and just don't worry about it. Just have fun on your vacation and just don't pay any attention to what they do. This is a guy telling me this who works for TSA. So I just started laughing and I said, whatever, dude. So anyhow, so then we got back in the car and so we had to go get fuel. And now we're out of gas because we burned up all the gas in the car. Now I've got to find diesel on top of everything else. So finally I told Sharon, this is ridiculous. Now we're trying to find diesel fuel before we run out on the side of the road. Finally I clicked the, and now I'm so far in the middle of nowhere that I don't even know how to get home. So I clicked the home button and it says, you got like 100 miles to get home now. And I'm like, this is just perfect. So all morning, I literally drove 200 miles today going to back and forth to TSA, playing the TSA shuffle for absolutely no reason at all, because these idiots who answer the telephone don't tell you that they don't take walk-ins ever. They don't ever do that. They don't ever do that ever in Orlando or Sanford, but they want you to believe they do. And they don't care about anybody. That's how this group of people are, Austin. And I just had to vent, and since I have my own little talk show here, I decided I was going to vent to everybody. So here's the thing. If you want to sign up for the Global Entry Program, do so, whatever. But remember, they don't take walk-ins. Whenever your appointment is there, make sure you go on your appointment date. And remember, TSA loves you and they care about you. What's your first story, Austin?
Well, I find that very interesting. What's interesting to me is I find the whole issue with TSA, whether it's the pre-check program or the entire thing, so invasive in our liberties, because quite frankly, they already have your fingerprints on file. They've already done a background check on you. We've already bought firearms. They already know all this stuff. But what it does is it slowly acclimate the population to constantly having background checks, having people run your information, to constantly be put on more papers and more documents. And that's what TSA does. That's what they've continued to do. And they've also liked to get everybody completely acclimated to getting groped every time you go in. So you give up those physical boundary rights every time you fly on a plane. You no longer have that right to be travel free and unmolested. You basically get to get groped every time you get on a plane. So that's why I don't fly anymore. I have flown one time since TSA has been enacted. That's one. And it was to California, and I almost got arrested and almost got in a fight with one of the TSA guys. So that was my short story of that. Haven't flown since then. Probably won't fly again unless it's on a private prop plane or something like that. Generally, I like to drive because if I fly, I can't carry my firearm. If I can't carry my firearm, usually not a happy camper. So I just choose not to fly.
It's the truth. You haven't.
Not the extent of it. But
what's your first story, buddy?
This one I want to address. This is another reason why more and more people need to look into private education, private tutors. Even some of the private schools around here have a lot more stuff. This is in Florida, in Tampa, Florida. This is at Monroe Middle School in Tampa. This is a public school. Florida parents are livid at a Spanish teacher who assigned middle school students a form titled, "How Privileged Are You?" So I saw his article, so I want to look it up. And, this is the 7th and 8th grade class, is what it was, 7th and 8th grade students. And they had this paper they got, and at the top of it said, "How privileged are you? Click the boxes that apply to you." So, of course, they had race, and they had skin color, and they had religion, basic stuff you expect to be on this. Well, then on the next one, it said sex. And it had male, female, and then below that, it had intersex. I'm like, okay. So I go to the next one, it has gender. All right. transgender, genderqueer, and cisgendered. Like, okay, it just gets more bizarre. Then it goes sexual orientation. Now, remember, guys, this is 7th grade middle schoolers. This is not, lesbian and gay studies in college. This is 7th and 8th grade middle schoolers. Then it goes over to sexual orientation. They're asking children in 7th grade their sexual orientation to determine how privileged you are. And it goes straight, homosexual, gay or lesbian, bisexual, asexual, pansexual. Those are the options they give them, which we've thought about pansexual before. Basically means you have really no preference. You'll pretty much do it with anything. Asexual, I thought asexual had to do with amphibians. I didn't realize that you people identify themselves as asexual human beings. But this is bizarre. Now the teacher basically has been pulled from the classroom until they investigate the situation because of how much backlash all these parents are having about this. But I thought I would address that today, that's what 7th grade students are learning in Spanish. Spanish class, none other, in Florida, in public schools, about their sexual orientation and gender, and basically let's see how confused we can make them. So I wanted to address that today.
Well, it's funny because I pulled up the same story because I thought the same thing. I thought this is about as stupid as it gets. And it's like that thing I read you, the thing a few months ago about, you know, all these different app things they have over in England, and they ask you all of these different types of sexual orientations. I think there were like 25 different possible types of sexual orientations. And it's just kind of ridiculous. And but let's go back to something more relevant here as far as day-to-day that's going to affect more people. You know, I've been really looking at this chemtrail stuff now for a while. And here's what we've learned. There is such a thing called the chemtrail flu. And if you wonder why so many people are getting so sick all of the time, is when they spray manganese oxide in the chemtrails, it causes flu-like symptoms. You get really, really sick from it. And so a lot of people have been having all kinds of health and basically problems with their lungs, you know, from the geoengineering that's going on. And the use of this different types of compounds and chemicals in there, not to mention the Morgellons nanotags that basically track people. They have self-replicating hollow fiber Morgellons bacteria. That's a tri-species product. It's made from animals, and it's also made from plants, and it's also made from fungi. And so it's the animal kingdom that is in it's for the insect. This can actually read your DNA, and it transfers it into a radio signal to broadcast into the into the AI, the artificial intelligence they're hooking up to. In fact, Ray Kurzweil tells us, Austin, if you listen to what he's saying, that within about another 5 or 10 years, that our consciousness will be transferred into the cloud, which is this thing that they tell us about that we're in, you know, with all of our data nowadays is the cloud, and that the cloud will be thinking for us and will actually become part of a hive mind. Now, you know, I don't know about you guys, but this kind of irritates me, the fact that they're actually doing stuff like this and they think it's okay. And again, this is back to the CIA and the military and the black magicians and all the stuff that we've talked about so much. But I want to say something to you. If you do have the flu or have experiencing that, in many cases because of the spraying of manganese oxide in the geoengineering, which is part of the government and the CIA domain. So I thought you guys had I'd like to have some explanation as to why that's happening to so many people. What's your next story, Austin? Do you have a comment on that?
Yeah, well, I've gotten it before. I know days, we've seen it before. The one time we went out hunting, and it was just chemtrail, just splooge all over the sky. I mean, it was like for 2 days straight, that's what they did. And we were out like the second or third day of this when they were just rampantly spraying. And I remember the next day, man, I woke up, and, well, I just didn't feel good. Nose was all stuffed up. And it was weird. I hadn't been exposed to anything as far as, like, you know, around people. I'd gotten plenty of sleep. I'd been eating good. I'd been taking supplements. I still felt horrible, and it cleaned out about a day later. But, yeah, there's definitely something significant going on with that. I wanted to address, too, because it kind of irritated me the other day when our computer at the house automatically updated. I have Windows 7 on my computer here at the office. Yes, Windows 7, and I like it, and I don't want to get rid of it. And here is why. I've told everybody I hate Windows 10. And now all this comes out about it. It's absolutely horrible. Windows 10 is actually stealing your bandwidth. We've heard a lot of not nice things about Microsoft Windows 10. Now they're saying that there's a built-in Trojan horse backdoor access that has been covered earlier now. Now they're also saying, why do I need all this bandwidth, and why does Microsoft need to update my PC nearly every day? And I've been seeing this stuff on here because I've made sure mine is denied on mine. I will not let Windows 10 update. There's a couple people in the office here that have updated to it, and they're constantly updating on a daily basis. Well, here's what happened. Do you feel like Windows 10, your internet bandwidth is dropping away? Yes, Windows 10 is stealing your network bandwidth. Along with the privacy features related to Wi-Fi sense, Windows 10 users should check for another hidden default feature that uses your network bandwidth to share updates with other Windows 10 users across the internet. Windows 10 was launched July 29th last year as a free upgrade, and pending millions of simultaneous 3.5 gigabyte downloads, they are saying now, this is what they're saying, in order to cope with the issue, Microsoft put a new feature into the desktop operating system that uses a torrent-style approach to obtain software updates, allowing Windows 10 users to download updates from other users. They're saying they had to do this because it was difficult for the company to offer all these downloads. seen more of that, that the DHS, the Homeland Security guys, all the NSA, all this stuff compiled one another. That's why all this was free. But this way, guys, anytime somebody's trying to offer you upgrades, downloads, a lot of time, a good portion of the time, you don't want it. There's a reason why they're offering it to you for free. And that's exactly what we've seen here now, is it's basically linking everybody together and taking your bandwidth and who knows what else they're sharing. And it's not something I support, and I'm doing the best I can not to have Windows 10 because I hate it.
Well, I don't. I use Apple. I mean, that's got its own set of worms, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, I don't like, because you're absolutely right. That's why I left Windows years ago. In fact, I've got a Windows PC that I turn on like once every 2 years. I don't even use it because of that. Because it's always wanting to update all the time, every day, every week, wants update. And I'm like, what the heck is wrong with these people? Are they that far backwards as far as their programming? They have to continually update? Well, it's just the constant probing your computer for data that they want to basically transmit back into the cloud, whatever the cloud is. And it's just that's what they're trying to do. And so that's why I had enough of them a long time ago. And plus the constant viruses. Oh my gosh, the constant viruses that you get on your computers if you don't have Norton or something else on your thing all the time, you've got to buy and pay for. And Apple doesn't do that. It doesn't get any viruses in it. So that's why I had enough of Bill Gates and his one world agenda and all the weirdness that they're involved in. But let's talk about something a little health related right now, because the show today is brought to you by HealthMasters.com. HealthMasters.com, it's a company we've been around for about 35 years, and we basically teach people how to feel great and look great every single day of their lives. We have to teach them how to have healthy blood pressure, you know, how to have healthy cholesterol, you know, without having to take a bunch of drugs. And it's very easy to do in most cases by simply taking the right supplements and the right lifestyle choices. But also there's some things you could do to actually increase your testosterone, and I want to talk about that for a second. Now, testosterone is very, very important, and here's why. Testosterone helps you to maintain your lean muscle mass as you get older. And it's also important for women. Women also produce testosterone. Most folks don't realize that. And that also helps them to maintain their bone density and their lean muscle mass. But men produce, of course, a lot more testosterone than women. Now, being 60 years of age, I realize there's a lot of things that I do now to maintain and to help elevate my testosterone and have the free serum testosterone, the stuff your body can actually use and not have to be all bound up. Now, what I do, there's some things you could eat. Pomegranate juice, pomegranates in general are really, really good as far as to help bring the testosterone levels up. Also, olive oil is too, and vitamin D3, and also zinc is super important, and vitamin E as an Edward. Super important to take these on a regular basis. I take them every single day. Other products that contain large amounts of zinc are sardines, cashews, and wild-caught salmon. Raw pumpkin seeds are another good source, but it should be limited to like a tablespoon a day. Coconut is incredible how important it is to produce hormones, including testosterone. Coconut can help your body produce cholesterol, and also by doing so, help you with testosterone. Broccoli, cauliflower, carnivorous vegetables are also really good for this, increasing up the testosterone. And whey protein. We bring a protein powder, guys. It's called Fit Food. We bring it in out of New Zealand. New Zealand has no nuclear reactors. We don't use any GMO whey protein, no growth hormones, no antibiotics, nothing. It's our Fit Food whey protein. It's phenomenal. It tastes great, and it's really, really healthy for you. And you get a 3-pack special with that too. But that also is super important to get enough protein in order to increase your testosterone levels. And believe it or not, garlic has actually shown that it'll help lower your cortisol, and it can actually help to produce more testosterone. So garlic's a great thing to take too. Now, there's also some other supplements, Austin. Cover those real quick as far as our testosterone protocols.
Yeah, so two of the main ones that we carry are the Tribulus Fuel, or the Tribulus Extract, and the Pongad Alley. They both work on a similar aspect. They're both root extracts. The Pongad is the Indonesian root extract, if I'm not mistaken. It is definitely a stronger formula. It does cost more money, but it's definitely very effective for restoring natural, healthy testosterone production. And, of course, the Tribulus, again, like I said, is definitely a cheaper protocol, and it's still pretty effective as well. What I recommend for a lot of guys to do, depending on cost, if you're on a budget, I would go with the Tribulus. If you're not on a budget, I would go with the Tongat. If you're really interested in trying to produce the most amount of muscle mass, and not just maintain, but actually, you know, weight lift and try and put on more muscle tissue, is cycle both of them on and off 4 weeks. So basically, a bottle of the Tongat Alley and then a bottle of the Tribulus back and forth. They do similar things to the body as far as increasing luteinizing hormone and overall testosterone production, but they're a little bit different as far as how the body responds. So if you go back and forth, a lot of times you get pretty good results from them. But one thing you guys got to remember is if you're taking these supplements like this, you're going to produce a lot more natural testosterone than normal, which means you're going to have a small amount that's going to naturally convert into estrogen. If the estrogen becomes too high, there's a multitude of side effects that can come about with that, but one of the most significant side effects is it will actually downregulate your natural testosterone. It's kind of a circle right there. So in order to get the best benefit out of either one of those supplements, you want to take a product that we formulated called Dimension Estrogen Control, or DIM. That's what it has in it. Usually I'll take four capsules at bedtime, and what it does is it helps metabolize and basically utilize estrogen and get rid of it naturally. It doesn't suppress your estrogen, but it helps to metabolize it efficiently so you don't get a massive buildup of estrogen that causes the downregulation of the testosterone, if that makes sense. So it's definitely a side supplement you want to add into it if you're really trying to boost the testosterone high. Plus, excess estrogen can cause gynecomastia and cause water retention and cause more excess fat deposits. So it's estrogen, you only need a small amount of it, guys. It's essential hormone. You need it, but you don't need a lot of it. It's completely opposite with women. So that's what I would recommend, or one of those products, or either or, and then adding it with the DIM estrogen control. Those would be the base ones, and then along with the Super E and the zinc and the Ultimate Multiple as your base daily nutrients that cover all your other bases with supplying your proper vitamin mineral balance.
And also what I recommend is that you take the HGH Stimulate. And what this is a product that helps the pituitary gland to release more human growth hormone. It's a natural product. We use citrulline. Most people use arginine, which isn't very effective with this, but we use almost all citrulline in that compound. It's an amino acid, and it's very, very, very expensive because it really, really, really works as far as this compound. Plus, you also have to have folate, and the folate has to be activated, methylated. So you have to have all of these compounds in the right concentration in order for these products to work properly, and that's what the HGH Stimulate does. Plus, it really, really helps to burn body fat, gets you really, really strong in the gym. I remember when I started taking that thing to start with, I got so strong in the gym almost immediately, and I'd be able to maintain that strength even up to the age of 60. And it's just so important. Plus, it's like a natural testosterone libido booster. And when you stack all of this stuff together with the vitamin E and the zinc, your sex drive, your libido will go through the roof, guys. It really, really will. So if that's not one of the side effects that you want, just be aware that may happen. And so same thing, you better warn your wife because that's going to happen probably in 95% of the cases. So don't use the stack if you don't want to increase your testosterone and you don't want to increase your libido. If you do want to do that, then do it. Rotate the Tongat Alley with the Tribulus. Take the HGH Stimulate every day. Take 4E, 4 zinc every single day. And then and take the estrogen blocker. And you're going to see a huge, huge difference almost immediately. You know what we need to do also? We need to put a kit together, a male vitality, a male increase kit that allow them to, you know, get maximum results when they work out and when they train in the gym. And just
I do. I have one. It's called the Lean Muscle Stack Kit. I put it together about 2 years ago.
Of course you did. So is everything we're talking about in there, including the HGH?
Pretty much. Well, I'll go over right now. I got it right.
Go over right now. I want, because if that HGH Stimulate is done, and I want that added. So go ahead. Go over right now real quick.
Give me one second. It is the, where are we at here? I would have had it up in front of me if I would have known.
Well, no, I have getting so many emails about this that I figured we better talk about it on the show today. Somebody even said to me the other day, you know, we hear the news all the time, but we love y'all's show because you actually talk about health-related items from a perspective that we understand. And so we really appreciate you doing that when you take for a second off the news and you do some health stuff. So thank you for that. Yes, we're trying to do that more and more. See, I guess here's the thing, guys. I've been doing the nutrition stuff for 35 years. And so it's become just the way I live. So it's not really news to me because I already know all of this stuff. It's like I kind of assume that everybody knows it all, but they don't because they haven't had the years and years and years, decades of experience that I've had. So a lot of times I kind of enjoy covering other things, you know, like the blood of Jesus or interdimensional physics, because I really love stuff like that. I mean, I read books on this kind of stuff, and most people think, well, that's kind of silly. Well, I really enjoy that kind of stuff. So I love talking about all of these other topics, but my real total expertise as far as becoming commonplace to me as far as my mind, because it's also simple for me, is the nutrition aspect of what we do at healthmasters.com. So thank you so much for supporting Health Masters. We try to bring you the highest quality supplements in the world. We actually manufacture supplements that I take, my family take, my children take. I mean, even Alexis, now that she's out in boarding school in Montana, we just shipped her a whole boatload of vitamins yesterday, because we realize how important it is for her to maintain her health, because these boarding schools, they don't really give them organic, non-GMO foods, because they don't really have the ability to do all of that. But the thing about it is this, you have the ability to do that for you and your family. So sign up for our free newsletter. That's so important. Sign up for our free newsletter. That will help you a lot as far as getting all this information to you in your mailbox every single day. And realize that we're here to help you. You can give us a call at 1-800-726-1834. That's 1-800-726-1834. If you're calling international, which a lot of you do, the 800 number won't work outside of Canada. So if you're calling from New Zealand or Australia or Europe, which a lot of you guys do all the time, and Switzerland, all over the world, we ship everywhere all over the world, call us at 863-967-0244. That's 863-967-0244. Now, please be aware, some of the places in Europe, because of the European Union, have gotten all weirded out because of Agenda 21 and all kinds of weird things as far as letting certain supplements even get into Germany. So sometimes we can't ship everything everywhere because they get stopped by the EU, which is ridiculous. It's just another form of tyranny. I mean, why can't we send vitamin C to Germany? I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, ridiculous. You can't have vitamin C in Germany? I mean, what are they trying to do? I mean, no C? So it's all these different things have been banned as far as going into Europe. So again, healthmasters.com. And now, Austin, go over that stack of those natural products that we tell people to do to help to elevate their manhood.
Well, yeah, I put this together. Like I said, this is more of a moderate, you know, weight gain, bodybuilding, lean muscle tissue, testosterone stack. If you want to combine all that together. And so, I mean, it's definitely a stack that, I mean, I recommend if you're going to order this, you need to utilize it, which means you definitely need to be training at least 4 to 5 days a week. You need to be making sure you're doing good cardiovascular exercise. You're eating good small meals all throughout the day, you know, 5, 6, 7 meals a day. And you need to find out your total caloric intake so you can maintain or build lean muscle tissue or lose body fat, depending on what you're trying to do. But it pretty much is exactly what we were just talking about. We run the Fit Food Protein from New Zealand. We also throw in there a Superfood Complete, which is a pea and rice protein concentrate. The reason why I added this is because it also has a full spectrum, actually stronger than the Ultimate Multiple in it. So I want to simplify it as easy as possible. So I have in here the Shake Protocol, too. Then I have the Tongat Alley, of course, the zinc to maintain natural testosterone. It's also very good for sperm. I have the HGH stimulate in there. I have the Dimension, which I referred to earlier. The digestive enzyme blend, because as you are going to be eating more food, more frequent meals, I want to make sure everybody's getting proper digestion. You don't have to use those all the time, but with larger meals or higher fat meals, you want to utilize those. And then I have the Tribulus fuel in the kit, too. I mean, it's on sale, guys, for over $100 off retail. It's right at $300 for everything I just mentioned. That's with free shipping. And on the website right here, I have the breakdown of everything, how to take it, when to take it, how to cycle it on and off. And so it's a really good protocol with that. And it really helps out as far as building muscle tissue if you eat correctly and you train correctly. And so it's right there. It's called the Lean Muscle Gain Stack, right there under our Maximum Health Kit.
Austin, does it have vitamin E in it?
The vitamin E is in the Superfood Complete. There's a few hundred IUs per serving in that product. There's a few small products that I did leave out of that only because of cost, and a lot of times Super E is already a staple in most people's supplement plan with us. So I didn't want to start overlapping a ton of stuff on here, primarily because I had people tell me that they already had all this stuff. They wanted a very strict, basic, simplistic stack that is utilized very well. And the Superfood Complete already had vitamin E.
I went ahead and
okay.
left it out.
But what I want, if you guys already have the vitamin E, that's okay. But I want you taking at least 1,600 IUs of vitamin E a day if you're doing this, and at least 100 milligrams of zinc. That's really, really important. And you're going to see just you'll see what it's going to do. It's going to kind of just shock you how quick you're going to gain lean muscle mass. And again, healthmasters.com. Okay, what's your next story, Austin? Let's get off the nutrition stuff for a bit and let's talk about a few other things.
Yeah, well, the one thing I wanted to discuss was the vax. Our buddy John Rappaport, he just put out an interesting article today now, and apparently the vaxxed movie has just been shut down in Houston 2 days ago. I told you it was going to be going out to California. Apparently it was supposed to be hitting Houston at the World Fest Houston International Film Festival. But apparently they got a phone call from high government officials in Houston that threatened the festival, and vaxxed was completely taken off the list right before it was supposed to air. John Rappaport, he said he had confirmation that it was Houston's mayor office that did the dirty deed. The threat was obviously about money. The city government supports the festival with grants, so apparently they threatened to take all the grants away from this movie festival if they showed this movie. So again, we're still seeing a concerted effort of trying to prevent people from seeing this movie in Texas, which has a very big state. More and more and more stuff has come out on this MMR vaccine. Now the former chief scientific officer for Britain's Department of Health, he said it's utterly inexplicable complacency regarding the measles, mumps, and rubella shot. This Dr. Peter Fletcher, who is his country's chief scientific officer in the late 70s, and he's basically gone now and ultimately proven that the MMR vaccine is linked to autism as well. And he said the refusal by governments to evaluate the risk properly will make this one of the greatest scandals in medical history. He said he has borne witness to a steady accumulation of evidence from scientists around the world that the MMR vaccine is indeed linked to brain injury in children. However, he said there are very powerful people in positions of great authority in Britain and elsewhere in the world who have taken their reputations and their careers on the safety of MMR, and they will do almost anything to protect themselves. So that's why, again, why we're seeing such blowback from the vax. It's not done yet, as far as the blowback from it. So this is very interesting. I want a lot of people to realize that the vaccines, man, do your own research on them. Don't believe me. Don't believe Dad. Do your own research. Go read about them. Go watch this video when it comes out. Buy it. Go watch it on YouTube, whatever. But don't take everything the government says as gospel. Think for yourself. Critical thinking is key. You have to make sure we don't take everything we hear as, oh, that's the one thing. That's absolutely true. No, man. Do research for yourself. Look it up. Talk to people. Get other opinions. Just because your doctor or your pediatrician says this, they're not God. They can't force you to do anything. Understand that. I'm not saying don't follow what they tell you to do. I'm saying is make sure it's your choice, not their choice that they're forcing you to follow. We're not sheep. We don't have to follow blindly. Make your own decision under good decision-making ability and understand what you're doing and follow that.
That's excellent, Austin. You're absolutely right. In fact, here's the thing. Guys, listen to me, please, for a second. I'm just going to just listen to me for a second. This vaccination thing is one of the biggest lies that's been ever promulgated to the American population. And this is one of the reasons that we talk about it on a regular basis. I'd rather talk to you about this than I would pontificate to you about the refugees in Europe and what they're doing over there. I'll tell you more about that next month when I'm there. But the whole thing is this. I just spoke last night. We were at a furniture store getting some office furniture in Winter Haven. And I remember I was talking to this lady, and we were talking about the vaccinations, et cetera, et cetera. And she finally said, well, I don't know what to do. She goes, I've got grandchildren, and they're all getting these 72 shots. And I'm like, well, here's the thing. Just let your daughter have some information, let them read. Because here's the thing. If a person really understands what the New World Order is and what they're trying to do and the massive, massive amount of energy they're putting into depopulating the planet, they'll start to understand what the vaccines are all about. I mean, look at it this way. They charge you. I have a friend of mine. His name's, I'm not going to give you his name. It doesn't matter. He was diagnosed with brain cancer, a malignant 3 glial tumor, about 2-3 years ago now. And they gave him 90 days to death. And they said, you'll be dead within 90 days if you don't do any treatment. Well, they knew a naturopathic physician and a medical doctor in their area. They live in another state, who worked with them as far as, you know, doing a whole bunch of different alternative treatments. And now, 2-3 years later, he's still alive, and now there's no longer a trace of the cancer. Now, what's interesting about all of this is that they told him, if you have 90 days to terminal doing nothing, and if you decide to do the treatment protocol that we're going to give you, it's going to cost you $1 million since you don't have any insurance. So your dad will need to mortgage his home, his business, borrow money to keep you alive for 12 months, and then he'll be $1 million in debt. And the kid goes, well, nobody's going to do that. See, why in the world are these super, super expensive protocols? Why do they work very well? I mean, we've seen that just the other day, I gave you the statistic that chemotherapy only increases the risk of 5-year survival by like 2.1% in a study out of Australia. In other words, like a 60% survival rate without chemotherapy. With chemotherapy, it's like 61, 62, which is within the margin of error of not being viable at all. So same thing with statin drugs. If you take statin drugs like 15 years, statistically, you only live for an additional 4 days. Yes, you heard that right. If you take statin drugs for 15 years, statistically, you live for 4 more days. But in the meantime, you have all these other diseases that are being caused by the statin drugs. So, you know, including heart disease, diabetes, cancer, the list goes on and on and on and on. So do yourself a favor. If you're going to go to the doctor and he's going to put you on the whole plethora of drugs because you have a hangnail and now you need to be on 6 different prescription drugs, do yourself a favor and just think through what you're doing. Go to your doctor and say, please bring out the physician's desk reference and talk to me about what you're putting me on and what the side effects are. If he won't do it, talk to the pharmacist. Because look at it this way. Right now, we've got about 14 to 20% of the veterans right now who are in the military who are contemplating suicide, according to the one poll they took of them. I mean, you know, 14 to 20% of the veterans contemplating suicide. Now, you say, well, why is that? It must be because of all the people they killed. No, no, and no. Because a lot of these guys don't see, they didn't kill anybody. They were just involved in accident reporting and other things, et cetera. But what happens is once they get out of the military, it's like they get automatically signed up into the Veterans Administration and going there constantly for monitoring, because they always want to make sure they know where these highly trained combat troops are. In addition to that, if they give them any information at all that makes them think they're a little stressed out about what they saw or what they were involved in, they immediately put them on psychotropic drugs. These psychotropic drugs give you suicidal thoughts. That's why I personally believe 14 to 20% of these veterans have suicidal thoughts, because of all the drugs they have on. Plus, what is it, almost a dozen veterans a day now, every single day, are committing suicide. And it's almost all because of the drug cocktail they're put on. So it's a major, major problem. And again, the globalists, the big banks, the Rothschilds, the guys that are pulling the strings of all of the stuff, who want to control the planet and rock the world with their crazy globalism that they're pushing on all of us, they don't want you alive. If they wanted you alive, if you spent $1 million on treating a cancer protocol, you'd be okay, you'd live, but you don't. I mean, it's $1 million till terminal. Well, we start today, it's going to cost you $1 million, and in 12 months, you'll be dead. Well, I don't even understand what the attraction for that would be. Okay, are you that desperate not to go see the good Lord in the next dimension where he lives? I mean, you're going to see him anyhow, so what difference does it make? Why do you want to bankrupt the whole family in the meantime? So the truth of the matter is this. They don't have your best interests at heart. Their whole thing is their fiduciary responsibility, these interlocking corporate directorships. And, you know, and Quigley wrote all of this stuff in his book, you know, the thing on hope, I forgot the name of it, Austin, you may remember it. And he wrote all of this stuff, how the New World Order and the globals are planning on doing all of this stuff. And the reason they write about it, because they're proud of it. They're proud of their plan. They're not even trying to hide it anymore. It's just what they do. So, guys, let's try to do our best to avoid all this. It looks like they're already going to steal the nomination from Donald Trump. I mean, this is their goal. This is what they already said they were going to do months ago. I mean, Donald Trump even said he signed that thing that if they treated him fairly, he wouldn't run on a third-party ticket. I mean, they don't want Donald Trump to win the election. They don't want anybody to win the election but Hillary Clinton, because she's one of them. That's what they want. They want Hillary. And they know that if Donald Trump gets on the platform and they start doing debates with Hillary Clinton, he's going to eviscerate her. I mean, the Obama administration right now is actively blocking the Justice Department in the Hillary Clinton email investigation. They don't want her to be indicted, period, because they want her to be the next president. We have lost control of the republic. You know, the exchange stability fund through the Rothschild banking cartel, through the Council on Foreign Relations, through the Catholic Church, through the Bank of England, through all of this, has taken control of the United States of America, and they want to take control of the entire planet this way. And I mean, it's horrible. Also, what do you think, son?
No, you're right. It has gotten horrible. And there's something I wanted to address. This is completely off topic, but I just remembered it because it happened last night, and I really wanted to address it with our listeners here on why I'm so adamant and why I'm so pro midwife services for babies. One of our friends, she's been pregnant pretty much. She got pregnant right after us. I know her fairly good, her and her husband. Lana's been friends with her husband and her for quite some time. They were about a month after us. Her due date was actually the end of this month. She went into the hospital 2 days ago. Okay, she's like a month out from her due date still. She's not even at her due date. She's like, you know, just hitting like 39 weeks, I think, 38, 39 weeks, somewhere around there. Earlier than that, she's like 37 weeks, excuse me. She goes to the hospital. They said, well, your blood pressure's elevated. She's like, yeah, I know, been a little stressed out. They're like, oh, your blood pressure's elevated. We have to induce you right now. We have to induce you. You can't do this. We have to induce you immediately. She's like, well, my due date's not for another month. So it doesn't matter. We have to induce you now. She's like, well, can I go home and, you know, just relax? You know, you guys keep me here for a while, monitor you. No. We can't do that. We have to induce you now. Your blood pressure's slightly elevated. We have to induce you immediately. She goes, okay. So they prep her, slam her with Pitocin, get her all jacked up on that stuff. Her water breaks like 2 hours later. Okay, boom. Now, under, I think, I don't know if it's federal law or state law, I know here in the state of Florida at least, after a woman's water breaks, she has to have the child within 18 hours or else a C-section is required because of basically bacteria exposure after the water has been broken. So that's something I learned recently. Okay, so her water breaks. She's going into labor. Remember, she's a month early. Her body is not ready to have this kid yet, but her blood pressure was slightly elevated, so they freak out. She's about 5 hours in. She's obviously having contractions. She's pushing. She's not making a substantial amount of progress yet because she's not really ready. So they said, well, we're either going to give you more Pitocin or we're going to do a C-section. She's like, C-section? I've literally been in labor for like 5 hours. I'm not even ready. They said, okay, so we'll give you more Pitocin. They give her more Pitocin. She keeps going into labor. They basically say that she's not moving as fast as they want her to. Now, after they've already given her a second shot of Pitocin, 6 hour mark after they induced her from the original time she came into the hospital, bam, C-section, done in 30 minutes. They did a C-section on her, and they did not even fully numb the area, so they had to put her under anesthesia after that. Luckily, by blessing, the baby was okay. She's okay now, I guess, as much as she is. She wasn't even awake. She was unconscious for like the first 6-7 hours after the baby was born. So she never even had that golden hour. She never even had that bonding experience. The whole family basically got to see the kid and bond with the child before her mother even woke up from surgery. And I just want to let you guys know that there's always another option. The hospital industrial complex and what they do with pregnancies is egregious to me. They treat these women like they're cattle, and they have to immediately remove some type of parasite that's in them. That's how they treat them. There was no reason to induce this girl. All she needed to do was put her feet up, drink some water, take some vitamin E, and go rest for a couple hours, and then check her BP again. There was no reason to induce her a month early, and there was no reason to do a C-section on her when she'd only been in labor for 6 hours. Absolutely unnecessary. This now, is how the hospital treats you guys.
How much did the baby weigh, Austin?
I think right at 7 pounds or right under that, like 6 pounds 15 or right at 7. So, I mean, it was borderline almost premature weight because they wanted to do inducer a month early. I mean, it's really sad, quite frankly.
Okay, let me give you my take on all of this. Number one, congratulations to you and Lana that you've chosen a midwife and you've chosen not to go to the industrial complex. What I'm going to say now is what I've learned from my medical friends in the field. These doctors have schedules and they don't like being up in the middle of the night. They have golf games. They want to get sleep. They've got dates. They want to go see the movie. They got a tee off time. They've got all of these different things that are involved in their lives. They got their 4X wives with their 4X alimony and child support payments and all this other kind of stuff. And the entire thing becomes just a, let's get it done, let's get it over with. I don't want to be involved in this. I don't enjoy doing what I do anymore. I just do this because it's rote for me. And there's absolutely no reason, if you have slightly elevated blood pressure, not to calm the person down. Just keep her in the hospital for a couple hours. But what your friend should have realized is this, Austin. The hospital complex makes you think that you're a prisoner, but you're not.
Yep.
She could have gotten up and walked out and said, you know what, guys? I disagree with you guys. But they make it so scary and so awful for you that you think if you walk out that you're going to be basically killing this kid. Now, I remember years ago I had back surgery. This was back in 1988. And Dr. Mahan, may he rest in peace, did the surgery for me. And most of the time I'm pretty good. I don't have any problems with it. I had a L4-L5 decompressive laminectomy, which is a major, major surgery. And I had this done. And I remember the hospital was so horrible. After I got into the hospital, I thought, this is crazy. I said, I can't believe this. After the surgery, and the pain was gone. And I finally told Dr. Mahan, I said, Dr. Mahan, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be involved in this. I want to go ahead and leave. And he goes, well, it's not a prison. You can go if you want. Just strap your back strap on and you can walk out. And I did. 24 hours after surgery, I walked out of the hospital, you know, very slowly on my ad, but I was fine. Then a few years later, this has been about 8 years ago, I had a bone spur on my left shoulder and I was going to go in and have this thing operated on. And I remember I walked in to the surgery suite. It was at Tampa Orthopedic Center in Tampa, Florida. And I walked in over there. And I remember it was right before Halloween. Austin, you remember this.
Yep.
And I walked in, and they had caskets in the, you know, like small caskets in the reception area where the patients were with, you know, little fake dead bodies in the caskets. They had witches on broomsticks hanging from the ceiling. I mean, it was like a demonic from hell place. And I'm back there looking at all this stuff about to go under anesthesia thinking, you know, I don't really want to be here right now. And they already had me prepped. I had the little gown and all my, you know, my, where your bottom hangs out and all that kind of stuff. They already had all these electrodes all over my body. And finally they came in there to give me some stuff to calm me down as far as getting me ready for the anesthesia. And I looked at the guy and I said, you know what? I'm not going to do this. And they said, what do you mean you're not going to do this? I said, I don't want to be here right now. You guys, if you want to practice your little Satan holiday here, I said, that's up to you. I said, if I'm a Christian, you guys think this is all jokey, hokey pokey or whatever? That's not what this is to me. This is real to me. And I don't want to be involved in any of this stuff. I'm leaving. And they said, what do you mean you're leaving? I said, I'm walking out. Do you understand what that means? Well, you can't do that. I said, you watch me walk out. I said, now you can bring me my clothes. I'm going to walk out with my butt hanging out. You pick what you want. And I said, but I'm leaving. And they brought me my clothes real quick. And I got up, pulled all the electrodes off me, and I walked out. And what was interesting about it, we started on a new product. It's called it's a joint rebuilding formula that we developed. And I started on that, and the whole thing got better by itself anyhow, and I didn't have to go in and do it. And the same thing that Dave Hodges used. The craziest thing about this, Austin, is you're not a prisoner in a hospital. Understand that. You're not a prisoner. And according to Hillary Clinton, that baby in you has no constitutional rights whatsoever, according to what she says, before it's born, so they can't say you're endangering your child's life. They can't say that to you. They can't legally say that to you. Now, they can try to scare you with that, but they can't. Because quite frankly, if your blood pressure is supposed to be 120 over 70, now it's 130 over 80, and it's slightly elevated like that, it is not a big deal. The problem is, it's a disease. Having a baby in you, and you called it straight, is a parasite to these guys. That's what they taught me back in college. They taught me this in embryology. It's a parasite. And this parasite can affect you, affect the baby, affect everything. So they want to treat it like it's a disease. So if you don't feel right about something they want to do, if you're at the doctor's office, you're in a hospital, whatever, all you got to do is say, you know what, guys, let me think about this and get another opinion. That's what you always say. That takes that, then you don't know what to do with that. I need to get another opinion before we induce labor. So I'm going to go ahead and call my gynecologist up, call another doctor up and see what they want to do since I'm a month early. So I'm going to be leaving now. And they really can't do much. They can't tell you that you can't get another opinion. So guys, use discernment. Now, if your blood pressure is, you know, 190 over 120 or something horrible like that, and I say, oh my gosh, whatever, that's different. Okay? But slightly elevated blood pressure, you got to realize, guys, blood pressure goes up and down anyhow, especially with stress, especially with how much water you've been drinking, especially with, you know, cortisol levels. It's all up and down all the time. I mean, I could personally change my own blood pressure by just changing my attitude and relaxing before they take the blood pressure. I could drop at least 5-10 points every time I do it. So it's just really easy for you guys to understand this the way I put it into the format of the conversation today, is that you're not a prisoner when you're in the hospital. You're not a prisoner at the doctor's office. You're not a prisoner. So just remember that. I mean, it's really, really good. That was Austin. I didn't know that happened. I'm sorry that happened to her.
Yeah, well, that's why I wanted to address it, because nobody even called us about it. We basically, Lana got a text saying, you know, hey, so-and-so, they're inducing labor because her blood pressure's elevated, so they're starting her right now. And so I was like, okay, well, that's, I mean, once you hit Pitocin, you're in it at that point. You're committed.
Oh, yeah.
And so I was like, okay, so we prayed for
her. And remember something, guys. Be willing to say to your doctor, I want another opinion. If you say that to them and they refuse to get you another opinion, they're liable. They can't do stuff like that.
Yeah.
And something happens, they all said, well, I need another opinion. I told you I wanted another opinion. And then they say, well, we don't want you to leave right now. I said, well, I'm going to write this down here. I'm asking for another opinion from another person outside of the hospital, and you're refusing to give me this. Please sign this that you're refusing to let me get another opinion.
No, I guarantee
they will not sign it. They will not sign it. They will not. Because they can't. Because they don't want to libel themselves. All right, go ahead, Austin.
Yeah. Well, no, that was about to say, too. And the thing is, if you guys are ever in that situation, if you're already getting admitted, if they already want to induce you, just say, hey, my blood pressure was elevated, obviously, when I walked in here. It's been elevated. Why don't we sit back for a few minutes? Let me put my feet up. Let me drink some water. Let me relax. You guys admit me in here for another couple hours, and you guys monitor my blood pressure, and we see where it's at, and we go from there. You don't have to live in fear, and that's the problem that drives me nuts about a lot of these hospitals, is they always operate out of fear on you. That's how they get you to do so much stuff.
That's right. And remember, when you sign something, when you go under anesthesia and you're going in for surgery, when you sign that blanket form for them, that lets them do whatever they want to do to you when you're out. I mean, if they decide they're going to do something else to you, you already signed off on it. So whenever I have those forms like that, I put no. You may not do that. You may do this. I'm coming in for this. That's all I'm coming in for. When I'm under anesthesia, this is all you can do. You can't do anything else. So the answer is no. You know, just because you're in there, you know, working on my back, does it give you the right to take out my appendix if you want to do it? The answer is no. Just leave me alone. And that's why the best thing you can do, and I'm telling you guys the truth now, is to eat right, exercise, have a really good lifestyle, and avoid the medical profession. Take your supplements. Avoid the medical profession. If you want to go in once a year or whatever, get your blood pressure tested or check it at home or whatever, or check your blood sugar, you could do that with a test at from the grocery store or from the pharmacy. You know, you could do all that kind of stuff. But guys, when you start going in for these annual physical exams and you start finding something that's maybe or may not be wrong, and it sends you in this complete plethora, this avalanche of testing they do to you, you know, if you let them poke you and prod you and do stuff to you long enough to put you on drugs, they're going to find something wrong, or they're going to cause something to go wrong and cause all kinds of problems. Here's another interesting article. Here's the bastion of liberalism in the United States, Chicago. Huge gun-free zone. This is a story by Tyler Durden. It says millionaires are fleeing Chicago in record numbers because of the hundreds and hundreds of deaths and murders that are occurring there every single year. About 3,000 individuals with a net assets of a million or more, not including their primary residence, have moved from the city last year. 3,000. That's huge, representing about 2% of the city's high net worth individuals. And so what they're saying is basically, we don't want to do it. They can't wait to get out. I've got another friend of mine who's a top radio show personality up in Chicago. I won't mention his name. Not hard to guess. And he had a bunch of people come to his house the other day and protest and picket him at his house. He couldn't believe it. Couldn't believe it. You know? And I mean, this is just crazy. This, you know, Chicago and Detroit, two bastions of democracy as far as the Democratic Party are concerned, and two bastions of liberalism, two gun-free zones, are two of the most dangerous places on earth, period. At least here in Florida, everybody realizes there's millions and millions of concealed weapons permit holders, and almost everybody runs around with a gun all the time. Crime down here in Florida is pretty much non-existent unless you get down to Miami or some of these bigger cities up in Jacksonville or Miami. There's pretty much no crime because they know better. I remember a couple years ago when they were having that huge thing with Travon Martin up there in Sanford. I remember people were saying, you're going to have giant riots in Florida. I said, no, we're not. And they said, why not?
No, we're not.
Everybody's got a gun down here. We're armed. Everybody's carrying, everybody's got Glock stickers on their windows, and they've got rifle shotgun stickers on their windows. I said, are you kidding me? You think they're going to come attack people who are, they know are armed? They don't do that. They wait until they can get into a liberal stronghold like Chicago or Detroit where nobody can defend themselves. That's what happened in Chicago the other day with Trump's rally. If everybody had been there, if all the patriots would have been armed, all of those communists who came in and who were hired by the Clinton group and by the opposing group and by George Soros, they would never have come in there and done that because they'd have been scared to death somebody's going to get shot. See, that's the whole thing. Because remember, gun control and gun seizure and gun confiscation only works in their dreams. Because the truth is, of the matter is that people who are the law-abiding citizens turn in their guns. The criminals don't turn their guns in. And so now you have an unarmed group of people that are law-abiding citizens who no longer can protect themselves, and they have to wait and call 911 or stand by the front door trying to break in with a baseball bat or with a knife or something, and you never want to bring a knife to a gunfight, for heaven's sakes. It just doesn't work real well. So anyhow, that's I just want to share that on Chicago. What's your next story, Austin? We're almost out of time.
Yeah, we are. We're pushing it here, but I want to address it real quick. The Governor Jay Inslee and Mayor Ed Murray up in Seattle and Washington now have banned city employees from traveling to Mississippi on official business. The second ban in many weeks, as they did in North Carolina, after the Mississippi and North Carolina have signed legislation that basically allows people to deny services to lesbian, gay, or LGBT is what they like to be referred to as. The thing about this is crazy now, is that they're saying that these states who enacted states' rights, who want to allow people in that state to deny services to somebody if it's against their belief, like a gay person suing somebody because they don't want to make them a gay wedding cake and awarded $140,000, which has already happened, they want to prevent that from happening. What's interesting now is Washington is basically saying they're banning travel to Mississippi for any city or state employees, which is so far tyrannical on the other side of that that it's almost nauseating. As far as my opinion is, the same thing we talked about yesterday, states' rights are states' rights, but now saying that if you're a city or state employee, you can't visit another state because of a bill they enacted, are you kidding me right now? I doesn't get much more tyrannical than that. That's out of control. So that was just one I wanted to address real quick because I saw that the article today.
And, you know, I'm going to say this again. I don't care what the gay folks do. Don't care. Just leave me out of their loop. Don't care. But now they're trying to put everybody else in their loop. And so I don't think we should be forced to do business with people we don't do business with, just like they shouldn't be forced to do business with Christians if they don't want to. I don't think anybody should be forced to do anything like that. I mean, this is what libertarians believe. And, I mean, it's just nonsense to me that we think any of this stuff is okay and that we think that these people can do whatever they want to do. Because remember, up in Seattle, that's a super liberal place. It's right up there by Vancouver. And these are like bastions of, alternative lifestyles. That's where a lot of folks are who are involved in all that. And so the thing about it is that, you know, let them do what they want to do. I don't care. That's between them and God. I'm not going to get into a big kick and parade about any of this stuff. That's not my agenda here. Guys, thank you so much. We love you. We appreciate you. Thank you for signing up for the healthmasters.com newsletters. Thank you for supporting Health Masters. Thank you for supporting us. Thank you for listening. We love you guys.
Yep, we appreciate it. You guys have a blessed night and a safe weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
And I'll be with you guys on Sunday night. God bless. Bye-bye.